On the field, inside the clubhouse, and everything in between. This is Brewers Weekly. Here's Dominic Catronio.
The day that we all feared would come has come. It has been revealed that Bob Uecker is not immortal, in the words of some of his radio partners here in Milwaukee. As you've heard all day today, by this point, we are spending the next 2 hours celebrating and remembering and cherishing the time that we spent with Hall of Fame broadcaster and even better human in Bob Uecker. I'm Dominic Catronio. If this is the first time you've been listening to us here on WTMJ, thanks for joining us here today. You can catch me after the games with Brewers Extra Innings and on the pregame as well over the weekends too. And I don't want to delay any further. I just want to get into the memory banks and just sit back and honor a life that can't even begin to start somewhere, but I do have to start with another Hall of Famer. I'm honored to have Bob Costas joining us here at the top of the program here on WTMJ. Bob, I know it's been a hard day for you, and I really do appreciate you making some time for us here in Milwaukee. And just first and foremost, I feel for you and having to say goodbye to a friend today.
Yeah, thank you, Dom. You know what you said earlier, and I know that many of his colleagues and all those who loved him joked that maybe Bob Uecker isn't immortal after all, but in a certain sense, he is. He will always be among baseball's immortals. As long as the game is played, as long as it is broadcast, Mr. Baseball will have a place. Literally, he has a place in the broadcaster's wing of the Baseball Hall of Fame. And as long as there is baseball in Wisconsin and Milwaukee throughout the Midwest, as long as the tapes can be found somewhere on the internet or wherever it is, Bob Uecker's name and his voice will echo down the corridors of time. He will ever be with us.
He was one of one, to say the least, and we've all said the same thing over and over today about how great he was, and the stories of the funny, and the cough button, and everything that made Bob Bob. But I want to go back for you as somebody that got to do World Series as young as you were when you were doing those, and when you first started to interact with Uecker on, you know, I think of 82, and fans can actually watch every game of the 82 World Series on YouTube to this day, and we could see you and Uke and Gary Giola, and it's just the cavalcade of broadcasts in 82, and just when it all began for you and Uecker, what were your thoughts of meeting somebody who was at the time like still really getting into form as a broadcaster, starting in the early 70s and then exploded into what we knew him today?
Yeah, but I was familiar with him. I was a big Tonight Show fan. I had seen his many appearances. Of course, there were more subsequent to the early 80s, but I had seen his appearances with Johnny Carson. The Major League film hadn't come out yet. That was later in that decade. But I certainly knew who Mr. Baseball was. He had done some national games on ABC, as I recall, in the 70s. So I was familiar with him from that. And now that you remind me of this, I don't think I've ever thought about this. But think about the broadcasters for that 1982 World Series. Jack Buck is doing it on the radio for the Cardinals. Vin Scully is doing it nationally for CBS Radio. Dick Enberg is in the NBC television booth with Joe Garagiola and Tony Kubek. Everybody I've mentioned is a Hall of Famer. Bob Uecker is the voice of the Brewers. And that is when I first met, Hall of Famers all, and that is when I first met Uke. And it centers, that first meeting centers around a Wisconsin and ballpark, Brewer Ballpark Classic, which is the Bratwurst with Secret Stadium sauce. Uke said to me, "Hey, kid, have you had the Bratwurst?" "Huh? Is it just a hot dog?" "No, it's not like a hot dog. Come on, go in the press room. Come on." So I have one of these. Now, those who know me, and you know me fairly well, but not well enough to know this, those who know me know that pound for pound, I am an amazing eater. If I didn't have the metabolism of a hummingbird, I'd weigh about 260, and it would not be a pleasant sight. So I downed four during Game 4. It was an afternoon game. There were still some afternoon games then in the World Series. Game 4 at County Stadium, I did the pregame, didn't have anything to do until the postgame. The first one was so good I had a second, and then I waited a few innings, and I knocked off four of them during the game, which became sort of a mini legend of bratwurst consumption, and Uke was very amused by that. So that was the beginning of our relationship.
It's a beautiful story, quite frankly, and I think a lot of people in Wisconsin are smiling at the fact that, you know, you, a New Yorker yourself, enjoying our own delicacies here in bratwurst and learning from the best that there was in Bob Uecker. Again, we're chatting with Bob Costas right now as you remember the life and legacy of Bob Uecker. You know, you were on earlier today with Michael Kay, and I was listening to that with our friends in New York. We've heard all the tributes today on MLB Network, too, and I think you made a very good point with Michael in the fact that the actual presentation of Bob's broadcasting was sort of overshadowed by his humor, in that he was a very good broadcaster aside from the humor.
Very good. If he never said a humorous thing, well, of course, that wouldn't be so great. But if you took, let's say, 90% of the humor out and just evaluated it on the calls of big plays and how listenable he was just as the game unfolded, he would still have been a Hall of Fame broadcaster. You know, the internet is filled and the shows on MLBN are filled with some of his best calls and big Brewer moments, and they're, you know, they're goosebump raising calls. So he became a really good broadcaster. Bud Selig has been in a variety of places today saying how it took him a little while, because at first he just wanted Uke to be part of the Brewer organization, and he gave him a job as a scout, and Uke was not cut out for that. And then he wanted to try him in the booth, and there were some people in the front office who wanted to get rid of Uke early on, and Selig said, no, 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 we'll stick with him, we'll see what happens. And in a couple of years, Uke had developed a style, and the audience loved him, and part of it isn't just how good he was objectively, and he was very good objectively, but he was one of their own, one of your own. You know this, Dom. He's a Milwaukee guy. He's born and raised in Wisconsin. Baseball was his life, but eventually Milwaukee baseball. That's where he started with the Braves in the career that he made so much fun of as a player. But then he lands with the Brewers for more than half a century. So it isn't, you know, it's one thing if you listen to a national announcer and you say, oh, this guy's good, but he'll never be your guy. You know, Jack Buck could never be on CBS TV what he was to the Cardinals. It just doesn't work that way. And as great as Uke was with me and Joe Morgan on NBC and on ABC with Howard Cosell and Al Michaels, and he was great, the real connection that takes it to the next level is that connection with a team and connection with a town.
It was one of one, to say the least. And I wanted to end it with you here, Bob. You got to come back to Milwaukee earlier this summer. You came back and you got to see Uke one more time. You saw Judy as well. And I just ask if you care to share, what are your lasting memories of that one last chance to see him in person and to spend some time with somebody who you have spent years of your life with, and now as the day that we all fear arrive, that, you know, we all say goodbye to Uke?
Well, Uke and I developed a real friendship in the 90s when we did all those big games, All-Star games and postseason games, World Series games on NBC. And so we were never out of touch with each other. If I was ever in Milwaukee or if the Brewers were playing in New York, we would get together. Or if I was in Arizona, I'd drop in for a few innings in spring training. And as Brewer listeners know, we kind of had a shtick that we did. And I was there when they dedicated his statue, not the Uecker seat statue, but the one outside. And we did another little bit of business on both radio and television. So, you know, we have quite a bond. And you may be interested in this. I don't know how this developed, how it started, but we texted each other frequently. And each of the texts ended with one of us signing off as some relatively obscure player from his playing days. So I'd say, hey, how's it going? Best wishes, Willie Tasby. And he'd say, hey, Kaz, how you doing? Blah, 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 say whatever was on his mind. And then he'd say, best to you, Chuck Cotier. I don't know why, but it wasn't just those two guys. Over time, there were hundreds of guys. and neither one of us ever looked it up. It was just whatever name from a bubblegum card or from his playing days popped into my head or his head. That's the way our text exchanges went. And I knew, to your question, getting back around to the answer, I knew that this was almost certainly his last season in the booth, and I wanted to make sure that I spent some time with him. So my wife, Jill, and I came to Milwaukee the last weekend of the regular season, and he pulled it together. They tell me, Tyler Barnes in the Brewers front office tells me he only did about 35 home games because he didn't have the energy and wasn't feeling well enough to do all of them. But he pulled it together to do that one game on Saturday night, and we did about four or five innings together in the radio booth, and then I moved over and did a few innings with Brian Anderson on TV. And, you know, Uke's voice wasn't quite as strong, but he was still Bob Uecker, you know, to the very end. Even if he wasn't at his broadcasting peak, it was still Mr. Baseball, and that's what people in Milwaukee wanted to hear. And you think of how poignant that last call was, the gut punch loss against the Mets, I guess in the wild card round, and the way Uke signed off, it pained him for the Brewers to have their season end that way. But while he didn't say it, you could also read between the lines that he was saying goodbye to a job that he loves so much, not just to that season, but to his long and wonderful career that defined his life. You know this very well because you were around it, Dom. Baseball was his life. He wasn't kidding when he said, for all the other things he did, Mr. Belvedere, the Major League films, the Miller Lite commercials, the appearances with Johnny Carson, the opportunities to go to bigger markets, for all the other things he did, number one with him was baseball and Milwaukee baseball. And even as he got older and his health was failing, when he got off that elevator and walked into that booth, there was a bit of a bounce in his step. The game sustained him and defined him, and he was true to it to the very end. So I was just glad that I was able to spend that time with him in person. Then the next day, Jill and I spent the afternoon at Bob's house in Menominee Falls with Judy. We had lunch together. And, of course, we stayed in touch after that. The last time I texted with him was between Christmas and New Year's, and he did text back, but I knew that he was in failing health.
Well, Bob, we really do appreciate you taking some time with us on a tough day for everybody here in the baseball world, and I'll leave you with a Dennis Mahnke. How about that?
Not bad. Dennis Mahnke, not bad.
Thank you very much.
Not quite Wes Covington, but still good.
Ah, there we go. I got to get back into my 60s and 70s baseball reference, dust it off here and see if I can do it. Because you'd be surprised, there are a lot of still, to this day, millennials and Gen Z that will do this, but with, you know, Doug Mankiewicz's and with, you know, Sean Figgins's in today's world.
Yeah, yeah, but that's not the same as Denny LeMaster.
And we can say
now,
Bob.
Now we're talking about generations before you.
Yes, we are. Bob, I can't thank you enough. Thank you so much.
All right, Dom. Be well.
Be well. See thank you. You. All right, Bob Costas here on WTMJ. Very, very grateful for his friendship and his mentorship over the last few years. And to be willing to come on a day that he has to say goodbye to one of his best friends. So we'll take a breather. If you want to interact with the show here tonight, the Siding Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text Line, 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. This one from the 815 area code. I grew up in Eau Claire and would listen to Bob on AM radio every game we could. Such cherished memories as a boy who loved baseball and never could call a game like Uke. Even going to the games, I would have my little transistor radio with an earpiece so I could listen to the best ever. Mr. Baseball always made me feel like I was at the game no matter where I was. Thanks for a lifetime of memories, Bob. You'll be sorely missed. Rest in peace in the front row. Thank you, Charles, for that text. We'll take our first break of the show. Come back with more after this on 620 WTMJ.
One pitch. Swings, and there it is! A base hit in the right center! He's done it! 3,000 for Robin.
The calls won't get old. We've been hearing them all day long. 3,000th hit for Robin Yount, as you just heard there. By call by his good friend in Bob Uecker, as we say goodbye to Bob at 90 years young today, just 10 days shy of his 91st birthday. Again, the Saturday Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. You can text, you can call if you're up late with us still reminiscing about Bob Uecker. I'm Dom Catronio. We will also have Lane Grindle join the show here in about 20 minutes' time. I know it's been a hard day for him, too. We'll also have a recording an interview earlier today with Tom Hamilton, this year's Ford C. Frick Award winner, the highest honor a broadcaster can earn in baseball. He is headed to the Hall of Fame, another Wisconsinite, along with Tony Kubek, along with Bob Uecker, into the broadcaster's wing of the Hall of Fame. And Hammy had some great tales of that current voice of the Cleveland Guardians. And then we'll hear from you as well. And I have audio from Ryan Braun, from Mark Adonasio, from Christian Yelich, and Brandon Woodruff. Just going down memory lane, talking about Bob Uecker. For now, I do want to get to the phone lines here. Paul in Waukesha. Paul, you're live here on Brewers Weekly.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'll just add to the many things. Obviously, Uke was just Milwaukee, Mr. Baseball. But, you know, the last thing I remember hearing from Uke was in that October broadcast in the last inning when there was that hit that ended that game and ended the Brewers season. And Bob Uecker said that had a lot of sting on it, or had some sting on it, words to that effect. And I didn't think much of it. I just thought it was the end of the season, end of the Brewers season. But after listening to Bob Costas, I realized it was more than that. I think it had a lot of sting on it because Uke knew that that was it, that this was his last season. And I think that really made a lot of difference now that I listen to Bob, is that had a lot of sting on it for Uke because this was it for him, his last broadcast. And God bless the man. Milwaukee is so lucky to call him ours.
I agree. Thank you so much for sharing that, Paul. And when it comes to those who knew about the diagnosis, and it was a very select few, and out of respect for the family and for his privacy, when you get to a certain point in your life and your career, and we can only imagine what it was like for Bob in the peak of his powers, but privacy is the finest commodity at a certain point. And to be able to talk about your own health struggles, it is something everybody has the right to. And one of the stories that Mark Adonasio actually told today was the fact that as much of a rally and trooper that Bob was, and how much he was privately fighting and how much he was hurting and how he just did not want that to be public. And one of the things that Mark told us today in the media that now is out in the public sphere is that there were days in the last couple of years that Bob would have radiation treatment in the morning and then call the game that night. And when you think about that, if you know people who have had their own battles with cancer, that they lean on people, they look for help, they look for assistance. And I think that choosing to internalize that is powerful and just so, I don't want to say it's telling, but it's something that if you feel like you could help somebody, you would, especially somebody like Bob Uecker. But he didn't want people to worry about him. He didn't want to have people use their energy on him. He was more than content with his life. And we can only pray and hope to be at that point in our lives when we reach that age. And the life that Bob Uecker lived as we say goodbye to him today was simply incredible. And there are not enough books in the world, there are not enough interviews in the world that can fully capture what Bob Uecker did for baseball, for pop culture, for comedy. The list goes on. But the one thing that I think we will all remember today is that he was ours. He was Milwaukee's proudest son. And while baseball has a deep loss today, and while show business has a deep loss today, no one has a bigger loss than the city of Milwaukee. And that's what I'm going to remember most today. And you've heard this command all day long, but a reminder once again, if you somehow have made it all day today and you have not spared 18 minutes to watch Bob Uecker's Hall of Fame speech, you have permission to pause this show. We'll be right here for you. go watch that for 18 minutes and then come right back, because it is some of the sharpest, best 18 minutes of comedy you will ever hear. And it was off the cuff. The best to ever do it. Bob Uecker, gone at 90 years young. We will miss him dearly. We'll be back with more with our special edition of Brewers Weekly after this on your home of the Brewers, WTMJ.
There he goes. The pitch, a swing and a fly ball, right field and deep. Get up and get out of here. Gone for Swain, and they've done it again. 12 in a row on a two-run blast by Swain to win it. Oh, my goodness. Holy cow. Do you believe it?
The other the high pitch at the very end, the bring it home from Bob Uecker. Team streak, 1987, Dale Swaim's home run. I got the chance to talk about that with Dale Swaim a few years ago, and he feels the same way that all of you feel about that. Like, Bob Uecker got to call that? Oh, my goodness. Thinking of Dale, thinking of everybody that wore a Brewer uniform that can say that Bob Uecker said their name. It's a pretty incredible list of players. And earlier today, Mark Adonasi was talking about the math that he realized it's well over 11,000 games in the career of Bob Uecker, and that's just the Brewer games. That's not the national games. That's not World Series. That's not playoffs. Simply remarkable. I'm Dominic Catronio. The Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. This one from the 847, that's insane that he would get radiation and then call a game later that day. What a dedicated guy. Really puts into perspective how influential Uke was getting Bob Costas on the show. Again, our thanks to Bob. This one from the 815, again, shed some tears today. I feel like a lot of us knew would be his last call when it happened. This has some sting on it. Let's go win it all for Uke. Go crew. I said this earlier today on ESPN Milwaukee. We were on from 12 to 2 and just kind of putting together the feelings and listening to Wilde and Tausch earlier today. And they had callers on the program that were breaking down in tears on the air. And I can say I've cried on the air twice today. So we're hanging in there tough right now to say that I was a tiny, tiny part of Bob Uecker's incredible Hall of Fame career is something I will take with me forever. But one guy that I want to play some audio from now is Ryan Braun. We had a chance to catch up with Brawny a little while ago, and he understood, obviously, the weight of breaking the playoff drought was in 08, and everyone was sick of hearing about 82 by that point, and obviously Braun had a large piece to do with it all. But and the celebrations are always some of the highlights that we remember of seeing Uke in the clubhouse with the guys, and Brawny made it clear, like, that was very intentional to make sure that Uke knew how they felt about him.
You know, we wanted him to understand how much we appreciated him and how impactful he was in our success individually and as a team. And so we didn't do that just because we liked him as a person or because of, you know, who he was in his legendary career. We did that because he genuinely impacted each of our lives, careers, baseball careers, team success. And so there are only so few moments that you get the opportunity to try to express and articulate to people the impact they have. But I think that for each team who took the time to celebrate with him, that's what we were trying to tell him in those moments is like, you're one of us. You've contributed to our success. We wouldn't have had this amount of success without you being a part of it. You know, that was something that I know that we all always looked forward to, and it meant a lot to us.
Yeah, and for Braun to be on that team that broke the playoff drought and then to pass the torch to Yelly, and we think of 2018 and the great run that they had and the stories of the full playoff share have obviously been well shared, but to echo what Braun said, Yelly also reiterated the fact that Uke was as much a part of the team as any sixth inning swingman reliever was, and certainly felt his impact on a day-to-day basis.
It was pretty special just to be able to, you know, share that with him and, you know, let him know how much he meant to all of us, which he already knew, but it's still good to, you know, remind him, like you said, with the Jordan 11s a few years ago. I think he wore those almost every day.
I saw him
for years. You know, he refused to wear a different pair of shoes or anything like that, because it came from the team. And I remember the day that we presented it to him, how much it meant to him, and how excited he was. It had like the Air Euchre logo on the side. He was pretty fired up. And, you know, to see where those shoes were that day to the last day that I saw him wear, they had some miles on for sure. And, he got some good use out of them. So it's just like little things like that, I think, that you're going to remember, you know, more than anything. And that's kind of this kind of guy Bob was. We were so fortunate to just like see him in that setting, you know, in the clubhouse where, you know, everybody's guards down. Nobody has to worry about anything. You can kind of just, you know, be yourself and sit at a table and talk or whatever. And I think those moments are so special because only a few people really got to experience that and see that and have those kind of interactions with Bob. And, you know, it's something that I'll always remember.
Yeah, it's obviously an extremely short list of people who had a connection like the players had with Bob Uecker, but they all feel the same way today. And even seeing the tributes on social media today, right? I saw one from Dan Plesac. I saw one from John Axford. I saw one from Jonathan Lucron. We had Jonathan on earlier today here on WTMJ, and it's just, it spans generations. And again, this guy was teammates with Warren Spahn, one of the greatest pitchers to ever live. Arguably the greatest Milwaukee Brave to ever live, him and Henry Aaron, right? And then later was calling home runs and grand slams from this kid, Jackson Churio, who finished third in Rookie of the Year voting. And I think of another rookie, I think of Paul Skeens. Paul asked and requested that if there was a day that Bob Uecker was going to be working while the Pirates were in town, he wanted to find a way to meet him. He understood the challenges that might have brought, but Paul requested it. Uke agreed to it, and I can only think of Paul for next season. I would love to catch up with him, and I know Paul has done an extraordinary amount of work for veterans and the Wounded Warrior Project and Folds of Honor and similar charities that were near and dear to Uke's heart, which brings me to this next point, is the fact that I think one of the most underrated things and underreported parts of Uke's life was he's a veteran. He was in the Army. And yes, it's not a major chapter of his life or not one that we all spend hours talking about, but what Uke did from a charity perspective and from a help of veterans and attending veterans' hospitals, it was at the drop of a hat, no questions asked, and a lot of these weren't publicized on purpose because he wanted it to be genuine, and everything about Bob Uecker was genuine, and we can only hope to be as genuine and as authentic as Bob was. He lived a full 90-plus year life that we can only hope to have a quarter of it, and we'd be satisfied with that life. As we say goodbye to Uecker today, I know it's been a really difficult time for Lane Grindle, who will be our next guest in just a moment. He's going to join the program too, but also it was tough today talking with Brewers owner Mark Adonisio about Uke's battle and knowing the battle and knowing what he was going through, but I thought Mark put it very well in describing why it hit so well for Bob Uecker here in Milwaukee.
I just had this stream of consciousness last night. I just wrote down like 30 things. And one of them I wrote is that he was one of us. And I feel like now we're Wisconsinites, and at least certainly adopted Wisconsinites. And I think he was like every man. You know, he would go down and joke with the canine officers. He befriended a lot of folks who worked in the ballpark, and he looked out for them.
I think of one person that I'm thinking about today is Lorraine in the cafeteria. And I know most people listening have no idea who I'm talking about, but people who do know, they know. And they together have gone through a lot of health issues and have kind of taken solace in one another. And I'm thinking of Lorraine today. I'm thinking of James in the cafeteria who help us out in the press box. And thinking of Judy, thinking of Bob Jr., who's got a lot on his plate right now. And what a day. Just loved hearing all the tributes and all the love and everything that was brought about for Bob Uecker. So we'll take a quick breather. On the other side of the break, we'll have Lane Grindle join the program, too. And we're going late tonight. We're going until 10 o'clock, so we got plenty of time here on the program. A little bit later, we'll hear from Tom Hamilton as well, this year's Ford C. Frick Award winner. Back with more after this here on 620 WTMJ.
And delivers. Morgan, a smash up the middle. Base hit the center. Here comes Gomez. Around third. A throw, and the Brewers win.
Plenty of replays of that all day long. Then he let the crowd just carry the call after Go-Go score. T. Plush, what a memory for the Brewers in 2011. I'm Dominic Catronio. A heavy day here in Southeast Wisconsin and for the baseball world as we say goodbye to Bob Uecker. And I'm honored to have one of his partners here on the air with us here on WTMJ, Lane Grindle, joining the show. Lane, I really do appreciate you taking some time on what I know has been an immensely difficult day for you and the team. And just how are you feeling right now here at the end of the day?
Yeah, well, thank you, Dom, for having me. And as you know, I've kind of gone through the full gamut of emotions over the course of the day today. I think like so many that were close to Bob, but also so many that were fans from afar of Bob. I think that's the beautiful thing about him, that even if you never met Bob, you felt like you knew Bob because he was just such a big part of his state, such a big part of everybody's summers. I have close friends in this town that never had the pleasure of meeting Bob, but when they talk about Bob, they sound like when I talk about Bob. And I think that's just a testament to the man. I loved him, you know, we all did. And it's been a tough day. And it's, frankly, at times hard to articulate what he meant to me, what he meant to my family, and knowing what he meant to everybody else that were fans, that were coworkers, that were players. What a legacy. And I'm amazed. I'm in awe of it. But no matter how much we knew this day was going to eventually come, still not any easier. And yeah, it's been just a tough day in that regard, as I'm sure you felt as well, Dom, and so many others.
It's been a day that, as you said it perfectly over text, and Jeff has said this too, where it's like we all thought he was immortal. We all thought he was Superman. And we would never actually have to do the day like today to actually have to say goodbye. I do want to go back to the beginning for you with Uke. And I don't think it's really that well publicized of kind of the, I don't want to say initiation is the right word, but maybe it is, of that first meal with Bob as like the final stamp of approval when you get the job. If you can take us back to what that day was. Where was yours? Was yours at Don and Charlie's, or how did it all work for you?
So mine was unique. I think I was the first one that was not at Don and Charlie's because I was the first guy to get hired not from a minor league team. And I was coming from a college program, and they called me, and Jeff had been hired the year before, so I had read the stories of when Jeff was hired, and I knew if you got the Uecker dinner, you were in pretty good shape for this job. And so when they called me and said, hey, you know, we're getting close here to making a decision, we need you to go to Phoenix and have dinner with Bob, I was like, okay, you know, we're in good shape here. And they wanted me to go down over the weekend, but I had already committed. I mean, I left in like 24 hours to go to Charleston, South Carolina to kick off the college baseball season. And so I just asked him, like, is there any way I can do, I think it was Tuesday morning or sometime Tuesday or Monday night. And they were great. They worked with me. And so we ended up having breakfast on that Tuesday morning at the Hash Kitchen in Scottsdale. And I remember getting there super early and sitting by myself at the table. And then I saw him get out of his car. And I mean, I'll always remember watching him walk into the restaurant. And, you know, it was that short sleeve, button-up shirt, little chest hair, chain. I think he had one of his veterans hats on, maybe a Wounded Warrior hat on. And he comes walking in, and I am just like, that is Bob Uecker. And I'm about to meet him, and I better not screw this up. And you're so nervous. And then he sits down, and anybody that spent 5 seconds around Bob will understand this part of it. He sits down and just disarms you immediately and starts telling stories and just makes you feel comfortable. And I think we sat there that morning. I think it was close to 3 hours before we got up and left. And like he had done with Jeff the year before, he said, I can't wait to work with you. This is going to be a lot of fun. And life has been this whirlwind ever since. 9 years with him. The first handful, not really working with him. I did work with him my first year for 4 games. A lot of people don't know that. It was a month in, and Jeff was the officiant for his sister's wedding in California. So he left for a series, and Bob and I called a Padres series in Milwaukee together a month after I had gotten the job, basically, or a month after the season had started. And so that was kind of wild for me. But then I didn't work with him again until maybe 2019. We started doing some games together, and then on a much bigger schedule, of course, in 20 and 21 and the rest of the way. But, I had this really, I think, advantageous way to come into my friendship and working relationship with Bob because of the fact that I didn't work with him most nights during home games. I would get the third and fourth inning and the seventh inning when Jeff would be working, and he would just come back with me and talk. And for 3 years, that's what we did, and we had so much fun, and so many stupid things happened that we would laugh about, and practical jokes, and I mean, just inside jokes that we had, and this friendship just blossomed out of it, to almost to the point where when we first started working together, it was like, how do we be professional and call games next to each other now? Like, that was a little bit of an adjustment, like the first couple of weeks that we worked together on a more regular basis, but that's just who he was. He brought you into his world. He was doggedly loyal to his guys. And I'm just forever grateful for the time I got with him, for the things he taught me, for the things he did for me, for the relationship that he had, not just with me, but with my wife and my kids and what he meant to them. And it's been a hard day in this house. And my kids, not one of my kids was able to make it all the way through the school day today. At different times they had to come home because of what he meant to them, and didn't have to be that way. He was already a Hall of Famer. He was in his 80s by the time I got here. He could have just said, this kid just needs to figure out a way to work around me, and I'm going to do my thing. But that's not how it was. You were his teammate. He gave you full ownership and what was going on, even if you didn't deserve it. And there's just never going to be another one. There never has been a Bob Uecker before him, and there will never be anything close to him again.
It's well said, my friend. And what a beautiful relationship. And peeling back the curtain, I think of you and your kids. I think of the photos that you guys have shared, that Jeff has shared, of showing all the photos, because those are the ones that are going to really mean something to them. And 20 years or so. I think that you guys did it right. Take as many photos as you can. You only regret the photos you don't take. And I think that in 20 years' time, your kids and Jeff's kids are going to look back like, oh, man, that's a cool photo with a one-of-one guy. And you'll be able to tell them, as good of a broadcaster he was an even better man. And I think that's how all of us in the booth knew how he was, and we can hear all the legendary stories and the funny bits and the cough button and all that, but the people who knew, and I think you put it perfectly there, my friend. Thank you.
You bet. The one, there's no silver lining to this, but the one thing that has been helpful in the last really 48 hours, I first heard Tuesday that things weren't going well, and very grateful for the chance to go see him yesterday. But there's been a lot of reflection, a lot of thinking about your time with Bob, and you just realize how much he made you smile and laugh, and the crazy stuff that happened. I'm not going to get into a million stories tonight, but I sat my kids down today just kind of went through some funny stories and pranks that we played. And, you know, there was a series. It was always really fun when Bob traveled and when it was the three of us and Kent on the road together. I mean, some fun stuff happened when all of us were gone on the road together, whether it was like San Diego to open up the 18 season or to finish up the 18 season when they were clinching postseason and things of that nature. But in 19, we were in Arizona and we would always eat in the cafeteria, you know, or the lunchroom, if you will. And for whatever reason, one night Bob was like, I want to go down to the concession stand. And Jeff was off getting an interview. Kent was doing something. So it's just him and myself in the booth. And I told him, that's a horrible idea. Like, we can't go down on the concourse. You're going to get swarmed. Like, a million pictures are going to be asked to take. You're going to be signing autographs the whole time. Like, we're not even going to be able to get to the concession stand, Uke. And he's like, nah, we'll be fine. He's like, come on, Granny, let's go. And I'm like, well, I'll text Jeff and Kent to meet us down there, you know. So I text them, and Bob and I get on the elevator. We go down the elevator, and right away the elevator door opens to the concourse, and there's a guy, and he sees Bob, points at him, stares at him for like, I don't know, 5-10 seconds, and yells, Robin Yount! And Bob says, exactly. And we walked right by that guy. And, I mean, the whole way to the concession stand, people are yelling, just a bit outside, and I must be in the front row. And you know, he's taking it in stride. And then we went and got in the concession stand line. And I think by that time, Jeff and Kent had joined us. And so the four of us are standing there. And everybody's just staring. And they're pointing and they're saying, that's Mr. Baseball right there. That's Bob Uecker right there. And eventually a lady's staring at us. And she has her daughter with us, or with her. And she says to him, I know you. I recognize you from somewhere. And he goes, can't think of where it would be. And she said, were you on TV? And he goes, no, I don't think so. You know, just trying to kind of be playful with her. And finally, I leaned forward and I said, you might recognize me. And she's like, no. And I'm like, no, I was on Melrose Place for like 2 years. And she's like, oh, that might be it, you know. And then Bob's like, no, you know, I'm from the guy from Major League and Mr. Belvedere. And if I remember right, I think he even took a picture with her. But it was just fun, you know, just the silly stuff where you never took things very serious. You always took the game serious, but regardless of the score, you knew you were going to enjoy yourself because he would find a way to make it entertaining. And, you know, just we have so few left in this game that can be as authentic and as original as he was able to be. Nobody ever was as original and authentic as he was on air. But it's kind of a lost art in our profession. I think you'd probably agree to some degree, Dom, that the guys from our generation probably aren't allowed, or maybe we just don't want to risk and take the chances those guys would take of just being themselves and being authentic on the air. I think you're going to have, in my opinion, one of the great ones left in Tom Hamilton on later, and what a wonderful human being Tom Hamilton is. And I think one of those guys that does it his own unique way, and I just admire him for it. But that's one of the things that I've always been like a little jealous that Bob was just so good at being Bob, because as simple as that sounds, it's not simple to do on air. And Bob was just always himself, and you were going to get Bob Uecker that night regardless. And That's a lost art in our profession, and he did it as well as anybody ever has.
It's an honor to have called him a teammate. I know you have said many, many great things about Bob over the years, and even more with us here tonight. I really do appreciate it, Lane, and thanks for the time, and I know we'll be in touch. And shoot, before we know it, we're going to be on a big old jet plane headed down to spring training, and I can't wait to see you down there, my friend.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a whole another range of emotions when we get there. Of course, there's going to be a lot of firsts without Bob. That's going to be, I think, make this year a hard year, but I think it can still be a great year and a fun year, and he would want it to be. So that'll be our goal moving forward, and I'm looking forward to seeing you too, Dom. Thank you, pal.
Thanks, Lane. All right, we'll be back with more after the news here on WTMJ, and a whole another hour of content after the news as we say goodbye to Bob Uecker. All right, we continue to roll on here until 10 o'clock tonight, remembering Bob Uecker. I'm Dominic Catronio. Our producer is Matt Yazel. He's been a rock star tonight as well. Everybody here at WTMJ and ESPN Milwaukee, ever since the news came across, we've been trying to do this story justice. And I think as we near the end of the day and January 16th, 10 days shy of his 91st birthday, we're going to remember where we were for the rest of our lives here in Southeast Wisconsin. So for this final hour, we'd love to hear from you as well. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. That's the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. This text came in earlier from the 414. I was just putzing around on my phone this morning, and my husband said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry," to me from the basement. I was thinking, oh, geez, what got wrecked in the wash? He came upstairs and told me about Bob. Oh, how I wish he had wrecked something in the wash. Many tears today. I listened every time he called the game rather than watching and hoped selfishly for extra innings. Baseball will never be the same. Well said from the 414. Thank you for sharing that text. If you have other thoughts as well, again, 855-616-1620. And this was revealed to me earlier today by Kurt Hoag of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, as he shared. And I was openly thinking about it on my way over here. Then I got pulled around and had to do a bunch of other stuff. Like, what was the last home run that Bob Uecker called? And, well, the answer, Kinect Generations.
Set to work. Runners lead. First, second, and third. The pitch. Hit to left and deep. Get up! His 18th of the year. Wow.
That's the last home run, Brewers home run, that Uke called in his career. And we'll see what becomes of Jackson Churio. Adam McAlvey has talked about that connection as well, that you have 90-year-old Bob Uecker, 20-year-old Jackson Churio on a division-winning team. What a beautiful, beautiful story. Going to take a breather. On the other side of this break, we're also going to hear from Tom Hamilton. And if you don't know who Tom Hamilton is, he's the voice of the Cleveland Guardians, and he's this year's recipient of the Ford C. Frick Award, the same award that sends broadcasters to the Hall of Fame. And if you didn't know, Tom is a Wisconsin native. So we'll hear from Hammy in just a bit. We'll hear from you, 855-616-1620. Take our first break of the second hour of Brewers Weekly after this on WTMJ. Oh, that was fun. That was fun back in 2023, the first homestand of the year. Bob Uecker gone at age 90. Before we get to the interview with Tom Hamilton, let's get to the phone lines. Doug in Baraboo, welcome back on the program. You're live on Brewers Weekly.
Good evening, Dom. Like everybody else, it was just a real tough day for myself and my wife. I never got to meet Bob Uecker, but I always had a story that I thought he would enjoy knowing his sense of humor. I did get it down in writing and tried to get it to him last summer, but I believe he never received it. What I'm talking about is back in 1961, I was in a league called the Stars of Tomorrow in South Milwaukee, and we were having a father-son event before the season started, and it was announced that there would be three Milwaukee Braves attending this event, and we were all excited, all the kids my age, and we were thinking, oh my goodness, Eddie Matthews, Joe Adcock, Warren Spahn, Roy McMillan, Johnny Logan, Del Crandall, Burnett, Lou Burdett, you know, and we were just so excited. So we come with our fathers, and we get to the old South Milwaukee gym, and they introduce the three players. And first Bob Hawk Taylor, then Phil Roof, and then this Bob euchre. I'm sitting next to my dad. He looks at me. He said, kind of in a scolding way, who are these guys? And I said, I have no idea. And so we got to, I know Bob's sense of humor. I think he would have got a kick out of the story, not knowing that Bob would become, you know, Mr. Baseball, Mr. Milwaukee, Mr. Wisconsin, and as famous as he has become. And then with Phil Roof, of course, he played with the Braves for a while and other teams, and then managed the Minnesota Twins. And then Bob Hawk Taylor played with the Braves for a while and some other teams. But he actually came back to Rawson Field and gave us some fielding instructions. So we actually got to meet him. But again, knowing Bob's humor, if I could have told him that story, I think he would have got a kick out of it. Mm-hmm. And then he didn't even make the team in 61. He came back, of course, and he went back to spring training or the minors or whatever, and then he made the team in 62, of course. But it's one of those things, you had to be there, but I think Bob would have appreciated that.
He would have bent over laughing, to say the least. Thank you for sharing that, Doug. Appreciate your listenership throughout the last few years here. I want to get to one more caller, then I'm actually going to take a break before we get to Tom Hamilton, too. Tony, I see you on the line. I'm going to get to you after the break, but right now I want to get to Matt. You're calling from behind enemy lines, if you will. Can you go ahead and explain?
Yes, I am. I'm a born and raised Cubs fan, believe it or not, and you're going to hate to hear that, but I respect Bob Uecker more than pretty much anyone in the game. He has trained Pat Hughes. He's worked with Bob Costas. I have heard his calls from West Allis, Wisconsin for the last 15 years, and I've heard, get up, get up, get up, get out of here, gone. I mean, he's the originator, and I love it. We will miss him forever. The most honorable thing he ever did was to hide his illness.
It's a hard thing to do.
People close to him knew that. Oh, yeah. People close to him knew that.
Mm-hmm.
But it came down to the final days before it came public. So I think that is the most honorable thing and legendary thing he has ever done.
It's very, very difficult to do. It's well put. Thank you for giving a little bit of perspective from the Cubs fan point of view, Matt. Appreciate it. And thanks for being a baseball fan and enjoying Bob Uecker with the rest of us. Tony, I see you on the line. I got to take a break. I really want to play this interview with Tom Hamilton as well. So we're squeezing it all in here. We got about 40 minutes left here on the program. Back with more after this on WTMJ.
It's Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
Gantner, there he goes. The pitch, a swing and a fly ball, right field and deep. Get up and get out of here. Gone for Swain, and they've done it again. 12 in a row on a two-run blast by Swain to win it. Oh, my goodness. Holy cow, do you believe it?
Yeah, I know we played that earlier, but we played it again because, I mean, come on, team streak, Easter Sunday, great times. I'm Dom Catronio. We're going to get to our interview with Tom Hamilton in a moment, but the reason we played that is because our caller, Tony, waiting patiently on the line in Colorado, I think you know a little thing or two about that day, right?
Yes, I do.
What do you remember about Easter Sunday, 1987?
We were at the game, my dad and I. I was 18 years old, about to embark on college and traveling around with the Grateful Dead and a whole bunch of other stuff that my dad might not have approved of. But we're at that game, and great game, and the Brewers fell down, and Dad's like, let's go, let's beat the traffic, we gotta get to your Uncle Wally's for Easter dinner. Come on, they could still come back. No, come on, let's get going. And man, I was angry. I was so angry leaving that game, and we get in the car, and we're driving down 94, and I got to hear what you guys just got to hear. The best call, one of the best calls, or one of the most famous calls. Best call is 1982. But the fact that I got to hear that with my dad, who's now passed, and share that moment, driving down I-94, listening to Euchre make that call. And like I said, my dad's not with us anymore, so I'm hoping Emil and Bob are up in some heavenly tavern sharing a cocktail right now and sharing a lot of great, great County Stadium memories, Brewer memories over the years. And just also wanted to say what a shame it is that Bob never got to see the Brewers win a World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm tearing up here. But
you and me both,
I hope,
Tony.
the team dedicates this year to him, and we go all the way.
I love it.
Do it this year.
I love it. That would be great. It would
be
on perfect Midwest time. You know, just a little late. No big deal. Just 1 year late. And he'll have the best seat in the house. Down in the front row from above. That's what I think so. Tony, thanks so much for sharing that story and being with us here tonight on WTMJ. So now I want to pass things over. I recorded this earlier in the evening here with Tom Hamilton. Again, I'm grateful for the time that I've spent with Tom over the last couple of seasons. And again, he's a Hall of Famer, and he will be in the Ford C. Frick wing of the Hall of Fame, and he makes a little jab about that as the voice of the Cleveland Guardians. Tom Hamilton joins us in a two-part interview right here on WTMJ. Pleased to be joined, as mentioned, by Tom Hamilton. And Tom, I know it hasn't quite sunk in yet with the news today, but I can call it now for you before the induction in July. I mean, a fellow Hall of Famer in Bob Euchre has passed, and I know you, as one of Wisconsin's proudest sons, grew up listening to him and knew him well, and your emotions just at the outset of today.
Well, thank you, Don, but I'm sure not at Bob's level, never was, never will be. And to your point, yeah, it's just it's a really sad day. And yet part of you can't help but smile, because did anybody in the history of mankind get more out of 90 years than Bob? I mean, did anyone ever enjoy life or make other people's lives more enjoyable than Bob Euchre? And I think any of us that grew up in Wisconsin, as I did, know how lucky we were to have listened to him all of those years when the Pilots became the Brewers in 1970. And, you know, eventually you're listening to another incredible broadcaster who's no longer with us, Merle Harmon, who was so phenomenal back in the early days with the Brewers and then was joined by Bob. And, I mean, you know, as a young person growing up in Wisconsin, I am dating myself, but I go back as a little kid listening on a dairy farm on our porch at night to the late, great Earl Gillespie and the exploits of Hank Aaron and Eddie Matthews and Warren Spahn and Lou Burdett and Joe Torre on those teams, you know, that I remember just not vividly, but sketchy here and there. It's just a little boy in Wisconsin. And then, you know, that state has been so blessed when you think of Earl Gillespie and then Merle Harmon, then Bob Euchre, and all of the great broadcasters that have come through Milwaukee and are in the major leagues and are still in Milwaukee. I mean, that state has been very blessed. But Bob Euchre is just, you know, irreplaceable. I mean, when you say one of a kind, there truly will never be another Bob Euchre. And, you know, I've said it to other people. I don't think there is a more beloved figure in the history of the state of Wisconsin in any walk of life than Bob Euchre.
I agree with that statement. We've been talking about it all day here at our family of networks, and it's just the pop culture aspect of it too. I mean, there are people that maybe watch Mr. Belvedere or watch Major League and had never turned into a Brewer game in their life, and they were introduced Bob Euchre or Saturday Night Live or the legendary stories from Norm Macdonald and the roasts and the comedy tours that Euchre would do from behind the scenes and the stuff like that. For you, going back to Waterloo in your younger days here in Wisconsin, Do you pick a moment, a game, a spot? You know, we've heard stories of guys that remember the first time they heard a ball game or whatever. Do you remember your introduction to Bob Uecker?
Just as, you know, we were devastated when the Braves left. There was no reason for the Braves to ever leave Milwaukee except greed and money by the ownership of the Braves that took them to Atlanta. And so that was a huge void when they left after the 1965 season. And I think all of us from Wisconsin take great pride. For those of us, I wish I wasn't a guy could remember the 60s, because then that would mean I'm a lot younger than I am. But, you know, the 60s, what a heyday, you know, because you had those incredible players with the Braves, the renaissance of Green Bay Packer football with Vince Lombardi winning 5 NFL titles in 7 years. And then when the Braves left, that was a massive void. Milwaukee was the first franchise ever to draw 2 million fans. Not Boston, not the Yankees, not the Cubs, the Milwaukee Braves. And, you know, thank the good Lord for Bud Selig, because there's another person that never gets enough credit for what he has meant to the game of baseball in the state of Wisconsin. Without Bud Selig, you know, who knows when or if Milwaukee ever gets another crack at Major League Baseball. And so for them to come back, you couldn't wait to hear the exploits of Bobby Coluccio and Lou Kraus and Gene Roof and guys that, you know, maybe weren't superstars, but we had baseball back in the state of Wisconsin. And then, you know, as, you know, anybody knows, I mean, part of my biggest issue when I got into broadcasting, Dom, was not to imitate Bob's call. You know, get up, get out of here. I mean, it was such an iconic call that, you know, you hear about kids wanting to be the next Vin Scully and imitating him growing up in L.A. Well, that's how broadcasters were listening, you know, to somebody like Bob Uecker, and you had to make sure that you didn't start copying him, because that wasn't fair to him, and obviously people would know you were a fraud right away. I just remember – I'm sorry.
I hear you, buddy. I'm with you, too.
How kind he was to me when I was lucky enough to get the Cleveland Indians job with Herb Score in 1990. And, you know, I'm not at their level, never was, never will be, but the way people like Herb, the way people like Bob treated me, boy, you don't forget those acts of kindness. And on a more humorous note, we're all intimidated by Bob initially till you meet him, then you realize, oh my gosh, he's even nicer and he's even funnier in person than he was on TV. And so I asked him once, probably my second or third year with the Indians. We're, you know, back in those days, Dom, the Brewers and Indians were in the same division.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I had those great trips back to Milwaukee to see family and friends. And, you know, my parents were still with us. So the way he was, you know, when I asked him if I could introduce my mom and dad to him, and he was like, oh, my gosh, by all means, bring them up. And I come from a family of loud Irish people. And it might be the only time my dad was speechless. Wow. And how kind he was to my mom and dad. And honestly, I think there were, I don't know if they could have ever been more speechless unless I'd taken them to the Vatican and they met the Pope. You know, maybe the Pope and Bob Uecker. And that's what I remember.
Beautiful story from Hammy. We'll have more from Hammy on the other side of this break. Can't thank him enough for his real emotion and his authenticity with us here on WTMJ. We'll take a breather. Back with more until the top of the hour. Remembering Bob Uecker on WTMJ.
Line up and the pitch to Molly. A swing and a base hit to right. 39 straight for Molitor on the first offering from Kenny Schramm.
The hit streak for Paul Molitor still stands, the longest in team history. Some more of the memories from Bob Uecker's calls here on WTMJ. Let's get into the second half of our interview with Tom Hamilton, and we'll take some more input from the fans here as we're getting ready to wind down the program on WTMJ. That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, Hammy. And, you know, when I think of, you got me too here, but the, when I think of the stories that we've been hearing all day today, and a story like that comes out so true, and I'll share this with you as well. I've said it today where, you know, I certainly was intimidated the first time I met Bob in 2021. And
join the club.
Yeah, and certainly then becoming a teammate of his a year later here on WTMJ. And, you know, somebody had always reminded me, hey, Bob listens, by the way. You know, WTMJ is on very frequently for him in his car. So be careful what you're saying on the air. And I'll never forget it because one day in, you know, I want to say late in 2022, my first year doing the postgame shows, and I'm in the clubhouse just waiting to talk to somebody or whatever. Bob walks in behind me, you know, pats me on the rear end and says, hey, nice show last night, bud, and walks away. And I looked around, like, no one was around me, and it's just like, that was genuine. Bob wasn't doing that because there were people around. Bob wasn't doing that because he wanted people to notice him saying hello to the new kid. Like, he listened, and he shared time out of his day, and I think you said it, when you break down that wall of the intimidation, like, oh my God, it's Bob Uecker, I gotta get this right, to he loved baseball. He loved Milwaukee, and for me, that's what I'm going to remember most about him, and I know you feel the same way, is that he wanted to talk ball. I mean, sure, he could tell stories about all the other cool stuff he did, but at the end of the day, he was one of the most baseball guys out there that we ever had.
Yeah, I don't think Domi gets enough credit for what an incredible broadcaster he was and an incredible play-by-play guy. You know, I've been so blessed to be in this game, and then you meet people like Bob. And then I worked with another fellow Milwaukee Brewer, Mike Hegan, who, you know, when he was playing for the Brewers, you know, was working in the offseason at WTMJ to learn the craft of radio and television and became an incredible broadcaster, play-by-play, color in Milwaukee as well as in Cleveland, and was, you know, a partner of mine for a number of years. And then, you know, I think of Tony Kubek, who I spoke with about a week ago. You know, Bob and Tony Kubek were high school stars growing up in the city of Milwaukee and went on to be major league players and then both be incredible broadcasters, both in the Baseball Hall of Fame. And, you know, for some of us growing up in Wisconsin, there's always been a great pride in fellow Wisconsinites. And, you know, and Tony Kubek still lives in the state in Appleton, and Bob still kept his home as Milwaukee. And I think for us Wisconsinites, there was great pride in somebody coming from Wisconsin who still wanted to call Wisconsin home. And for Bob, nothing was ever better than Milwaukee. And at the end of the day, the movies, the commercials, the Tonight Show, at the end of the day, he was a baseball play-by-play broadcaster at heart. He was the happiest he could be when he was at the ballpark. And, you know, what a great tribute that is to the Brewers organization, to the city of Milwaukee, and to the fan base.
It's been an amazing ride with Bob Uecker, again chatting with Tom Hamilton, current voice of the Cleveland Guardians, and heading into the Hall of Fame to join Bob Uecker this year. I know that sentence hasn't sunk in for you yet, my friend, but I mean, two Wisconsinites in the Hall of Fame in the Ford C. Frick Award Hall, man, that's going to really hit you in July.
Well, you know, Bob and Tony are in the wing. I'm in a little closet. I'll be a couple of hallways down from them, but you're just happy to get a foot in that building. And, you know, we've been it's still very surreal to us. I mean, you're very humbled by it. You're very grateful. And, but, you know, this is about Bob today. And again, you're so thankful for people like that, that gave you advice along the way, that were kind enough to treat you as an equal when you were never at their level. And, you know, that's what all of us need to keep in mind as we go forward. You know, I'll tell you what, the good Lord is still bent over laughing ever since Bob got there, because there's nobody that Bob was intimidated by, and nobody that Bob always made you feel like you were his friend. That's a unique gift, that as big a star as he was, Bob never felt like he was bigger or better than you, and that's incredible.
That's the line that I'm going to use, that the good Lord is laughing thanks to Bob's arrival, and I think that's the way to do it. I think that's a great way to put it, Tom. I can't thank you enough for spending some time and allowing your emotions to flow with us, as obviously it's a heavy day here in Southeast Wisconsin, and you yourself a Waterloo and everything that you grew up with here in Wisconsin, you get it. And I really appreciate you taking the time to join us here. And I really, really appreciate you joining us here.
Well, I was honored that you would ask. And Milwaukee's lucky to have you too as well. Trust me.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Well, be well. I can't wait to see you in spring training, and I hope you have a warm rest of your winter over there to our friends in Ohio, and we'll get you see you here, I guess, in 2 years back at American Family Field, since you came our way last year, so we'll have to make a road trip down to Progressive Field later this summer. Sounds good?
Looking forward to it, Dom. And then we'll be able to all rehash all the Bob stories that had us keeling over, that none of us can ever use on the air, simply because we all want to keep our jobs.
Amen to that. I said that earlier today. And in fact, Adam McAlvey, writer of the Brewers, had a great suggestion that Kent Sommerfeld, longtime engineer, should send Bob Uecker's cough button to Cooperstown. And I'm all for that.
That's the line of the day.
That'd be great. Hammy, I can't thank you enough, my friend.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate you having me.
That was fun. What a man. Got a chance to hang out with him a lot during this past postseason run on the American League side of things, and just awesome guy. I'm so happy. A Hall of Fame person is going into the Hall of Fame as a broadcaster. My thanks to Tom Hamilton. Let's get to the phone lines here real quick. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text line. If you want to get your last second text and calls in, now's the time to do it. We're on for another 15 minutes. Let's get to Bob in Oak Creek. Bob, you've been waiting patiently. You're live on Brewers Weekly.
Yeah, this is Bob Knoll, Oak Creek. Can you hear me?
I got you, Bob. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. Yeah, I'm going to miss Bob, because he was like, when I would hear him working, he wasn't working. He was just enjoying and then what he was doing. And it always reminded me that winter's over and it's spring, and you know, the boys are summer are back, and you know, apparently he didn't travel the last few years on road as much or at all, and then they're doing a great job of working side by side with him and sharing the calls, and I just you know, I'm glad someone mentioned Bud Selig and all the people that worked with him closely. So, sad day.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, Bob. Thanks for sharing those words and being a part of this large nationwide fandom of Bob Uecker, as we all remember him on a day like today. Another text here from the 414. Bob Uecker was truly the epitome of what is Milwaukee and what is Wisconsin. To use the call he made famous in baseball, he would always get up. He will never really get out of here. He will never, ever be gone. He will remain in all Wisconsinites' hearts and in many more across the country forever. We will all truly miss him. It's very well said. We're going to take our last break of the program and come back to, you know, say goodbye for these 2 hours and think about what's next for the Brewers. And thank you for listening to this far into the show. Back with more after this on WTMJ.
Adama aboard at first. This hit in the air!
Oh, fun times having Rhys Hoskins have home runs called by Bob Uecker as well. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. That's the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. I'm Dominic Catronio. Let's get to the phone lines. Paul in Mount Calvary, thanks for calling and welcome onto the program. What do you have to say?
Thanks. Good evening. Yeah, I was just calling. I can remember, you know, growing up, Bob Uecker was probably one of the first, you know, television or radio voices that I remember, you know, riding with my parents in the car, listening to the Brewers broadcasts. And the point that I wanted to bring up was I was in the Army, and 2006, 2007, I was deployed to Iraq. And while I was deployed over there, I would a lot of times go to the MWR computer center, and late at night, whatever time it was when the baseball game was live, and I would listen to the streaming broadcast and listen to Bob Uecker's voice. And, you know, just that little bit of hearing his voice would kind of take me away from everything I was doing over there and pretty much bring me back home for just a little bit of time.
That's great, man. Thank you for your service, Paul, as well. And I think there were plenty of Wisconsinites deployed around the world that were probably trying to sneak a few minutes away, right? Trying to find that one computer that had sat comms and was able to grab in and no one would catch him, right?
Oh, yeah, it was a challenge sometimes to be able to get in there and get enough computer time where you could actually, you know, sit and listen to a couple innings of a baseball game and, you know, hope that nobody else was waiting in line for the computer because you don't want to, you know, steal anybody else's computer time. But late at night, it usually wasn't a big deal. But, yeah, it was great to just, you know, hear Bob Uecker's voice and, you know, just imagine that you were back home in Wisconsin and enjoying the game with everybody else.
Well, that's great. That's great. Thank you for sharing that story, Paul. We're all thankful and that we all had to share a few moments with Bob, however short, wherever in the world they may have been, and that was a wonderful story there. Appreciate the call. This text from the 715, Dom, today hits hard for this Northwoods boy. This has some sting on it. His last words on air on October 4th, this was like a groundhog. When he popped out of the den in February, no one knew pitchers and catchers were soon to report. Then the new season was on the horizon. Memories resonate back to high school baseball practice in Merrill at the Fairgrounds Field in 1976 with a cold and snow pile still on the field, leather-bound, battery-generated AM radio blaring full board with him on the afternoon Brewers broadcast. We all stopped when he did that iconic get up, get up, get out of here, gone. My mother passed in August at the age of 96 and a half. God bless. Her and my father were huge lifetime Milwaukee fans, Milwaukee Braves, and now the Brewers. From a large floor tube radio to portable AM radios and now DirecTV and Bally on an app and streaming on iHeart, she experienced the Braves championship in 57 and the heartbreak for Atlanta. No team to root for 4 years. She has lived through the crap teams of the 70s and 80s, stayed engaged yearly listening and watching daily. That's a beautiful text, and I'm running out of time here because I do got to take one more break. But if you got any more last-second texts, that one, thank you so much for that text. Appreciate that from 715-855-616-1620 as we'll say goodbye after this on WTMJ.
This one hit in the air to left and deep. Get up! Get up! Get out of here and gone for Chorio! And the Brewers have cut it in half on his second big league home run.
It's funny because that was his second. Bob also called Chorio's first. And man, again, we said it earlier in the show, but the generations that Bob Uecker spanned in baseball and that, you know, the last chapter of this brilliant novel of calling games for a lifetime ends with the beginning of Jackson Chourio's novel, and what that book is going to read like one day is going to be a beautiful thing. But as we get ready to say goodbye here, a couple more texts that have rolled in. Sounds silly coming from me being only 27, but it'll be hard listening without Bob. He's been around my whole life to the point where I was listening to the later road games, I'd pretend he's in the booth and the mic is unplugged. Hard fact of life and growing up. I remember watching Packer games on mute and listening to Bob on the radio with my dad. That's my kind of guy. That's a good text there. Thanks that from the 262 as well. This one here from the 414. It's bad about Bob. He will be missed, but life goes on. Everyone's time will come. And that's something to remember about Bob. he was very at peace with everything that was going wrong with his body. He was still putting on a smile for everybody around us. And it was said by Mark Adonasio earlier today, and I'll remind listeners here of this, and that it was said for a while that Bob actually told Mark's father, Joe, you know, laughter can add 15 minutes to your lifetime. And boy, did Bob give us plenty more hours and days in our lifetimes. And it's no surprise that he lived to 90, facing everything that he faced to continue putting a smile on our faces. So as we say goodnight and we say goodbye, I say give somebody else a smile. Give somebody else a laugh. That's the best currency in the world and the best way to honor Bob. If you want to receive a laugh, give a laugh. If you want to lighten a situation, be self-deprecating like Bob was. But always have passion and authenticity in what you do, and you can be great just like he was. We'll miss you, Bob. Thank you for everything. Thank you to our producer, Matt Yazel. Thank you to everybody here at WTMJ. I'm Dominic Catronio. Keep on swinging.